What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast. Episode number... I don't even know if we're going to do episode numbers anymore because we're getting so close to the sad ending that is going to be at least Holly's end with the show. And the show as a whole is going to be completely different moving forward. But we have a really fun-packed show for it today. We are going to spend a lot of time reminiscing. But before we get into anything like that, we are going to first always welcome my wonderful co-host through all these 2 years of time. Holly, how are you doing this week?
Doing well.
And then we have a very special guest this week as well that I'm super excited to finally get to talk to with actual physical voice. It's so weird because normally when you meet someone for the first time, you like shake their hand. You're like, oh, it's so nice to meet you in person. But not so much in this case. It's more like it's nice to meet you as an internet person. But welcome to our very special guest, Steve Gentis on Twitter. How are you doing this week, man?
I am doing really good. How about you guys?
I cannot complain. It's been a good week for me, busy as usual, but I've still had some time to play some NES Remix and just have some fun all around. So,
Matt, we did tell you that me and Gentis actually did meet up at the Zelda Symphony.
Yes,
concert.
I do remember that you had told me on an episode of the podcast, I believe, and then I heard Gentis talk about it on Twitter. So I found out some roundabout way.
So me and Steve actually did meet and get to shake hands, so that was really neat.
I think we shook hands, actually, if I remember right.
I hope so. I tend to get a little bit uptight when I'm in big crowds of people and I don't know what I'm doing and I end up forgetting things, like shaking someone's hand when I first meet them, you know, stuff like that. So who knows?
I know the feeling.
Well, we're going to talk about it sooner than later as we get into the show, but I just want to say, you know, because we've had a couple of listeners come on the show here and there, but Gentis, you've been around for a long time. Do you remember about when it was that you started listening to the show?
I kind of started looking through episodes and titles and descriptions and whatnot, and I think I got it down to about 21, 22, somewhere around there.
Wow. We were still finding our ground very much so at that point, even though that had been almost at a quarter of the year at that point, you know, a few months with your, you know, early 20s and stuff. But we were still really trying to find our ground. And have you noticed a lot of differences between from the early days of the podcast into what the podcast kind of turned into?
Going back to it, I noticed it got a little more stable, I guess the word is that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you guys were finding your footing, but there were a lot more regular segments. It was in more of the same order more often. You know, you guys kind of had the same person hosting all the time instead of, you know, maybe one time you would host or one time Bradley would host or anything like that. It just got a lot more regular, and I felt it got a little bit easier to follow.
And honestly, we can attribute that to Holly, I would say, more than anything. Holly's always been so organized when it comes to our notes and how it is she wants to kind of go through the show and make sure that it's in order and it's easy to follow. And I have to say thank you to Holly for that, because without, I mean, Steve, Gentis, I don't know how to refer to you.
Whichever.
If you have our notes pulled up, this is what Holly does for every single episode. And without this, like, we would be, you've heard the podcast. I like to ramble just a tiny bit sometimes. And
me too.
without these notes, we definitely, it helps so much stay a lot more stable because of that reason. So, but I'm glad that I remember having a very early conversation about that between me and Holly, and it was important for us to not sound too much like a fan podcast, kind of. I wanted us to be as professional as possible,
right.
And I hope that we were able to kind of have that ability to sound at least semi-professional and not too much fanboyish.
Well, and as someone that came in as a listener, that's something that that your average listener isn't going to know just by listening to a podcast generally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much work actually goes into the podcast. I actually thought that, you know, you guys just sat in a room and you talked. I had no idea that there was actually a structure and research and any of that kind of stuff until I actually got a little bit into it myself.
Well,
and I realized even just the editing is an insane amount of work.
Yes,
yeah, it used to be for me. I edited it for the longest time, and I'd literally listen to the entire episode, and I probably took out more than was necessary. I'd take out, like, most of the ums, I think, which I think a lot of ums can actually stay. But, you know, I remember very specifically episode number 64 One of our lovely listeners, thanks so much to all the listeners over the past 2 years who have tuned in, but Cody Hurst, who is still a very dedicated listener, at episode 64 sent us an email saying, "You guys were on fire this week. I don't know what you had to eat this week, but eat it some more, even if it was..." I mean, he's a funny guy, and he mentioned, like, some kind of crazy food. Like, if it was some kind of super alien crazy spicy pepper, I mean, keep eating it, because you guys did so good this week. So starting, you know, probably around the 50s or 60s, I probably stopped editing quite as much, because Matt and I were finally starting to develop a rapport, I feel like. That came at some point, and that was a really good, really good time. And a really good email from Cody. Thanks so much for that. So, yes. Yeah, we finally did get to that point. It might have taken a while, but...
Well, before we get too heavy into remembering our memories of this wonderful show and hearing some fun stuff with you too, Steve, let's go ahead and jump into a couple of segments. We don't have a lot of them today. We are going to kind of cut it just kind of... We're waiting for the Switch, obviously, right? Like, the biggest news is right around the corner, and that is the Switch good? Like, we could get into some of the more... I guess, quote unquote, newsworthy type things that have been going around about the Switch, such as like Snipper Clips is going to be coming out on March 3rd for $20. There's been some problems with the left Joy-Con not syncing properly, but there's supposed to be a day one patch for a couple of those types of things. So we could get into that. I'd rather not, because I just want the Switch in my hand and make kind of these informed decisions upon my own usage of the machine instead of just going off of I've watched a ton of video. I don't know about you guys. Have you guys gone through the YouTube? Like, Game Explain has done so many cool videos about the system now.
I'm kind of avoiding it because I want to just experience on my own. And you forgot the most important thing about March 3rd.
Uh-oh, what did I forget?
Shovel Knight.
Day one,
You should have known that was coming from me.
Oh, and by the way, I probably will get I'm looking at getting a 128 gig micro SD card because I was going to try to go as physical as possible, but... Snipper Clips, Shovel Knight, Fast RMX. I kind of want them, and they're all digital only for now. So
yes, there has been.
I'm gonna cave. Darn it.
Really good stuff. It is going to be kind of an interesting system when it comes to the releases of physical and digital, because it is going to be such a handheld. You know, it's going to be this dual system where you're going to be using it as a portable and as a home system and all that stuff. So there is going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to want to purchase. I went through my 3DS recently, and I have a lot of stuff, as digital games from the eShop and stuff like that. So I know that it can fill up quickly. I was just downloading an update for Dragon Ball Fusions just a little while ago, and I had to clean the fridge, and I believe I have a 16-gig micro SD card inside of my 3DS, so I definitely am going to be looking to get probably a 64 gig, I think, to start out, and I think that'll probably do me pretty good, because I know that I'll be getting quite a few physical releases for stuff. But what about you, Gentis? Are you planning on getting a larger SD card, or are you going to try and rock just like a 32 gig or something?
Well, considering I've had to clean house on my 3DS and I do have a 32 gig SD card, I think Holly and I are going to have to talk after the show about that 128.
Yeah. It's
so, because I do like the digital games on my portables. I spent the extra money on my Vita to get the biggest memory card you can have on that, and that was a lot of money.
I'm sorry you had to mortgage your house.
It was bad.
With this, I mean, what is it? Because like, they're priority. Highest gig micro SD card you can get, and it's like nearly $200. That's insane.
The reason why the price is very high for the 200 gig, though, you got to remember, is they're not being circulated, and it's not something that's going to be used in very a lot of occasions. You know, if you can go get a 64 gig for like $10, I mean, they're not going to be super pricey. I'm going to assume that 128 gig is probably going to run you about $50.
40 on Amazon.
Oh, 40. See, that's nothing.
With the launch lineup, you're not going to want every game that comes out right off the bat, nor are you going to be able to afford that. So get a smaller one to start out and upgrade later. If it's micro SD, that'll be easy to do.
It will be.
I'm kind of just wanting one that's going to suit my needs from, you know, the whole time. Like, I don't want to spend more money later on down the road. So I don't know. We're getting way off track here, though.
We are. Very, very true. So let's go into some of these segments that we actually have built for the show, which starts out with recent swag. Now, recent swag, obviously, we've enjoyed doing this for a long time. I don't want to get off the rails, but I do want to use this time to kind of talk about the history about some of these things that we're kind of doing. Obviously, we're not doing the Pokemon stuff anymore, but that was all because of the 25th anniversary of Pokemon. We wanted to kind of be insightful into the world as Pokemon. A lot of people really enjoy it. And, you know, from back in the day, when me and Holly first started, we would bring up random Pokemon facts, and Holly would instantly know what Pokemon I was talking about. And I just had the idea, and you had the idea.
I don't remember which
one of us came up first, but I was like, I'm going to just describe a Pokemon, and you're going to probably be able to guess it. And it just took off from there.
We'd laughed about that like it was a joke, but we ended up doing it for real. Who's that Pokemon section, which is a lot of fun.
It was pretty early. I want to say probably higher 40s or 50s, I would say, because I know we did it for at least...
I wouldn't say that.
Well, we did it for almost a full year. We did it for almost a full year because we did it for all of a lot of 2016 is the thing. So it would have been probably 58, maybe 65, somewhere around there is what I would wager a guess, but I don't know for sure.
That's about where I would probably guess too.
Okay. But before we were doing Who's That Pokemon, one of my things that I love to talk about on the podcast, and it's because I would always get these really cool deals for like buying video games at really good prices at like thrift stores or like locally with people. And I wanted like an outlet personally to like talk about like, oh my gosh, I just got this super rare game for $5. You know, I was excited about it. So I always wanted to do the segment of recent swag, which has kind of turned into a hodgepodge of like video games and like items of video
T-shirts,
game culture.
CDs, Amiibo.
Yes, it's definitely Amiibo.
And
I remember
physical. That's
remember
what swag
time...
is.
Exactly.
And the name, you know, we can't go without mentioning that we actually asked the listeners to send us suggestions for the name for that segment. And it was Mike Fulham at Blind Hostility on Twitter who was the one who suggested what we ultimately chose, which was Recent Swag. So thank you to Mike.
Mm-hmm. And that was in episode 12, actually. So like I said, it's been a part of the show for a very, very long time. And it's been a blast to have it, obviously. But we are going to talk about our actual recent swag. And sadly, I don't have anything to talk about this episode. But I promise, Holly, and you too, Gentis, I promise I will have something next week very important to talk about.
Oh, very, very difficult promise to make.
What could that possibly be, I wonder?
I'm going to leave you in suspense, I think. But you guys both have something you'd like to talk about for recent swag.
Yes.
Gentis, and I actually have a little bit. I was going to say, I have a little bit more than just the one. Do you have anything other than the one, Holly?
Oh, I do not think so. So go ahead and tell us what the other one is.
So I went with kind of a Zelda theme this week, and not on purpose. It just kind of all happened at once.
Okay.
I obtained a copy of the 30th anniversary concert CD.
Ooh, like the special edition or...
I wasn't able to get the special edition. I was only able to get the regular one.
And the special edition was so dang pricey, so don't blame you.
It was. It was almost $20 more. But it is, for those that don't know, it is a recording of the 30th anniversary concert that they did, I'm wanting to say, in Tokyo. For anybody looking to get it, though, they do cut out two parts of the concert. It does not include the Breath of the Wild stuff they did. And it does not include the Majora's Mask.
What?
It does have everything
That's
else,
a little
though.
Disappointing.
Yeah, Majora's Mask? Why take that out? It's one of the best parts of the concert. We're talking like the Symphony of the Goddesses, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, this was the three shows that started the Symphony of the Goddess Master Tour, from what I understand.
Okay.
So, and to get tickets to these shows, from what I understand, you had to... like enter a lottery type thing and be randomly selected to even go.
Well, that's Japan for you, I guess. Just kidding. It just sounds very Japan to me. Like they would do that.
they love their lottos, as we've seen in Pokemon.
True. I never even thought about it that way. Like, holy smokes, lottery in every stinking Pokemon, and I'm all like, isn't this, I don't know, bad influence? I don't know.
And the cool thing about it is I was looking through the concert program that Holly and I got when we went to the concert, and between this CD and the 25th anniversary CD, you can almost reconstruct the concert just from those three CDs.
Nice. Oh, good times. So, I'll have to get this. It's still available like at the right price, right?
I think so. On Amazon, you can still get the regular edition.
Awesome.
And then the other things I got a couple of lanyards. I got the Dark Link Edition lanyard from Hot Topic. And also from Hot Topic, they have a new Eevee Lucian lanyard, which I picked up.
A new what lanyard? So,
the Eevee and his evolution.
Oh, lanyard. Eevee. Okay. I thought you said Eevee something. I'm like, is this something I'm not familiar with?
So, and then the last thing I got, I just got an email saying that I have something waiting for me, but they just released some Breath of the Wild merchandise at GameStop today, from what I understand.
Ooh.
And I have the Sheikah Eye lanyard on hold for me at my local GameStop.
So you like lanyards, I guess.
I do. I've got a whole big collection of them.
I've just got one that I'm currently using, but it was the one that came in the Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate Special Edition, so that's pretty cool. But I need a new one. It's mostly white, and it's really dirty now.
Yeah.
I use stuff like that.
I tend to get the darker ones just for that reason.
Yep, that's smart. So the last thing you got, I'm imagining, is the thing that we have already talked about. Ooh, suspense.
Yep, so I will let you say what that is. I think I've said enough so far.
Well, that would be the Legend of Zelda Art and Artifacts book from Dark Horse. Basically, a massive book. Holy smokes, it's much bigger than what I expected. I expected it to be about the same size as Hyrule Historia, but I feel like it's almost like twice as big as far as thickness goes. But it's just chock full of official Legend of Zelda artwork from basically the entire series history. No spin-offs really, though. I mean, they do have a little bit of art, funny enough, for the Mario Kart 8 DLC, which is kind of random. There's kind of bonus artwork there at the end.
They also had Link's crossbow training.
I know,
in there.
They've got like one little, like one page of Link's crossbow training, but and it's just kind of Link holding the crossbow, and I think that's it for that game.
But do they have any of the CDI stuff in this one?
Nope.
Thank oh, well, then it's goodness. Not complete. Not complete.
I'm sorry, man. You should still get it.
427 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're all, you know, those glossy kind of heavy pages. Like when I picked up the box that it came in when I got it in the mail, I was like, oh, that's much like heavier than I expected. And then I open it up and I'm all like, this thing is huge. So it's pretty amazing.
The Historia is only about 280.
I've got it right here, actually. I'm totally pulling it out.
The problem is the back has the manga, so it doesn't really have page numbers in that, so you kind of have to estimate.
Okay. Well, where the page numbers end is at 239, so.
Oh, wow. So this
I'm
is
not
going to
bother counting the rest.
This is a much, much more in-depth book. My question, because I don't have this book, obviously, and you guys were lucky to get it, what is the main topic of discussion for these books? Now, did both of you get both of them, or did only one of you get both of them?
Both of
I think we both have both.
Oh, we're talking Hyrule Historia as well as Art and Artifacts?
Oh, there are two separate, those were the two separate books shown in the Twitter picture then.
Yes.
Because I wasn't sure. Okay, so that's where I was kind of confused. I didn't know if they released two separate, because I thought they were going to do like a collection of books at one point.
There should be more coming. Art and Artifacts actually has a little symbol on the back that says the Goddess Collection, meaning that I think there are one or two more to come. Although I forget what they are, but I think Nintendo kind of announced them, or at least teased them.
If I'm not mistaken, the third and final, from what I understand, is the Hyrule Encyclopedia, and that has just gone up for pre-order in Japan.
An encyclopedia would be pretty awesome. I think that'd be a really nice one that would just cover everything so well. What is this one exactly? What's the main topic of discussion for it?
I'd say it's the like exclusive artwork that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Plus the artist interviews at the end. They're pretty cool.
And the thing I like about it, and I don't know if you noticed this, Holly, certain pages, they'll say on the bottom, like Ocarina of Time and Ocarina of Time 3D, and the remake version always has a triangle next to it, just a single triangle, not three. And the triangles, that same triangle will also appear next to pieces of art, implying that those pieces of art that have the triangle are from the remake and not the original. And you can see the evolution of some of those pieces of art.
Oh, yeah. I have seen some of that. Although some of those triangles, I think, also refer to art that was basically Japan only. Back in the day.
Not
Japan only anymore. But yeah, I've even got Art and Artifacts in my hands right now, and I'm flipping through it. Maybe you can hear that, but I want to like find an example.
Yeah, if you hear me grunt when I pick it up, that's why.
Okay. Yeah, it says, let's see. Oh, so hang on a sec.
Page 226, just as the one I randomly opened up to. And it's got Zelda from the Wind Waker. It's got Zelda from the Wind Waker. And then next to that, it's got Zelda from the Wind Waker HD.
Oh, yeah, true. Some of them in parentheses, though, and I found one, I lost that page, but some of them have in parentheses Japan only, and so I think maybe sometimes it denotes, like, remade artwork, or, but either way, I think it's super cool that you can actually compare, like, I guess Nintendo, and I never really knew this or realized it, but Nintendo actually redid a lot of the art, especially for the older games, for the newer releases, and so you can see the direct comparisons, and they can actually be pretty cool. So, for anybody, I'm gonna totally try to find the page that has my favorite art on it. And for anyone who has the book, I'll give you the page number, and you can go look at that. It'll take me a minute here, though. So
I don't have the book, so you should take a picture and show it to me.
Maybe I will, because it's priceless.
We just need to chip in and send Matt a copy of the book.
There you go. I like that idea.
Not too hard. It's only like $20 on Amazon. Well, it was when I got it, but yeah.
Yeah,
not too
that's
bad
about
compared
what I got
to
it
the
for too.
$40 suggested retail price. But if you if any of the listeners out there have the book, and you too, Steve, go to page 136, just right there in the bottom left corner.
Oh, what page? 126?
136. It's got this, it's artwork for, I think, A Link to the Past. And man, I mean, the artwork just got better and better, if you ask me, understandably. But man, some of this older artwork is so funny. I don't know. Listeners, just go and look at that page.
It very much reminds me of the cartoon that Nintendo also very rarely acknowledges.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Mm. It's funny stuff.
One day that will get a Blu-ray DVD release, and it will be epic.
Well, I know it's out on DVD at least.
Yeah, they released certain episodes out on DVD. I don't think they've ever done the complete quote-unquote season of it. I thought they just did like those like hodgepodge versions of it, whereas like there's three episodes on this one or three episodes on this one, but they're not in actual order, and it's not the entirety of it. I could be wrong. That's just what I have.
I have some Nintendo-loving friends who got something that I thought was like the full, you know, season or however long that it lasted.
You can buy it. It's kind of hard to come by now, but you can buy it. I actually found one.
Oh, really? So they do have a complete complete collection of the first season?
It's 13 episodes long, and it's the complete series.
Oh, that had to be it then. We watched it while playing Triforce Heroes once. Man, good days, you know? Perfect.
That was a video game.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we've done everything we could about talking about an awesome book that you guys got.
Yeah.
That I just had to sit and listen to. That was fun.
Go buy it, and don't remember to look at page 136.
I remember. Okay, but we are going to go into our main feature of today's episode now, and it's going to be a pretty chunky moment, I think, because we're going to talk about as much as we can remember. And I know that I say that because there's going to be moments that we have forgotten about or moments that we didn't think about for a long time. We've been doing this for 2 years, obviously. And in 2 years, segments come, segments go, people come, people go. But we're definitely going to try and hit as many important things that we can remember, starting with the very first episode, Holly. And one of probably, if not, that became the most important question on the podcast for a very long time. On episode number one, we asked the very important question, what is better? And I always tried to phrase it a little bit different. So I'm going to do it right now because, Gentis, we have not got a chance to
ask
you
this question. Yes.
Yeah, so now,
I always wanted to answer this question.
Now, hang with me if you can for just a moment. But let's say, for some bizarre reason, you're on a plane, and that plane is now going down, and it has crash-landed. But somehow, on the plane, the battery-powered engineer part of the plane that is able to support both a TV and a Super Nintendo survives with you on this plane. Now, as you crash-land, you notice that there are two games that are face down, and then they slowly start to raise up, and you see that one of them is Super Mario World, and the other one is Donkey Kong Country. You only have time now if you leap for one of them before the other one will float away into the sea and never ever be able to be played again. So you can only pick one game because you can either pick nothing or one of them. So the question is, Gentis, which one do you jump for quickly before it gets taken by the sea? Do you jump for Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo or Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo?
For anybody that knows me really well, They're going to know a few things about me. They're going to know who my favorite Pokemon is. Okay. They're going to know what my favorite video game console is. They're going to know my favorite game series, and they're going to know that I prefer Donkey Kong Country over Super Mario World.
Yeah! Woo!
What a way now, to end this question.
There is a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear it.
The reason being, I think Mario World has the better levels and the better mechanics. However, there is far more to a video game than levels and mechanics. Music and ambience also play into that, and Donkey Kong has that 100%. And I know that's not exactly fair, because Donkey Kong came at the end of the life cycle and Mario World came at the beginning. But at any given time, I have Donkey Kong Country music on my phone. Always have, always will.
Oh, so yes.
That is a big reason for why Holly loves this game as well. Like, I think most everyone always agrees that, yes, technically, Mario World is probably a better video game. Like, it is a better, like, pick-up-and-play video game. But there is something about Donkey Kong Country that has stood the test of time in a different way, because it doesn't look as good as Super Mario World does now. Like, because, you know, looking back with rose-tinted glasses, the graphical style of Super Mario World, I think, still stands up really well, where Donkey Kong Country looks kind of dated, where when they first came out, obviously, that was the exact opposite. You know, Super Mario World looked old and like, oh, man, we don't want that kind of junk no more.
Ew, pixels.
Pixels. We need that. We need that monkey that looked like a monkey. You know, that's what people were saying back then. But now, you know, everything's been kind of switched and flopped around a little bit. But I think a lot of people just remember, like, there was something really special about Donkey Kong Country. And that's completely viable, in my opinion.
It gives you feels, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Donkey Kong Country is the reason I listen to video game music. That the Gang Plank Galleon song from the very last level is the reason I started listening to video game music outside of playing the games.
I don't know if I can attribute that, or that same thing that I have with Donkey Kong Country, and I'm crazy about video game music. I might could attribute it to Donkey Kong Country 2 and or Zelda Ocarina of Time, though. So yeah, the Donkey Kong Country games have just the most solid soundtracks overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lot of games have like a soundtrack that has so few like not very good tracks. Basically, geez, if that made any sense. Basically, just the whole thing. I mean, there's not like a weak track in it. Every sound that comes out of that game is like candy for your ears. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the very first episode. That's what we talked about. Obviously, it is such a flashback to think about how things have changed over these past years and stuff. Mario Kart 8 DLC, we had a tournament. It was a special episode during episode number 10. We actually partnered up with GameGravy.com, which is a sister site or the parent site of Nintendo Fever. And everybody was a part of it. We had some listeners a part of it, too, actually. So that was a lot of fun. That was one of the very first interactive type things that we did with listeners. You know, we wanted to really try to do a lot of stuff with the listeners and try to
get people involved.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that we really, really, really wanted to do a lot of, which we'll talk more coming up. We did some cool stuff. We definitely did some fun giveaways and some fun listener type things. But obviously, we already talked about recent swag. That was part of episode number 12. The name was suggested by Mike Blind Hostility. We appreciate it all the time. And then we're going to talk about episode 16. Something pretty awesome happened during episode 16. We have a guest that joined
Bradzilla.
The Bradzilla. Hopefully, he's able to listen to this episode and he remembers all the fun times that we had together, because he joined as basically just an interview that we had done.
Yeah. He's on YouTube, Bradley News 11. I don't know that he's active anymore on YouTube, though. I haven't heard from him in a while.
He's really busy because he's working with video games as a full-time job now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't.
Yeah, that happened.
Doesn't do the YouTube in as much anymore, obviously, but he's still on Twitter, I believe, at Bradley Cragen. I don't know what his tag is right now off the top of my head. I feel terrible.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'll look it up while you keep going.
Okay, but he joined us as a guest on episode number 16, and then we just kind of asked him to stick around. Holly did and said, hey, do you want to just hang out with us for a few more episodes? And he was around for quite a while. I want to say
For sure, yeah.
I can't exactly think I don't think he made it like a full year with us. But he was around for a very long time. We had a lot of really fun episodes with him, and he brought a really cool dynamic, I think, to the show for a long time.
He was just chock full of the one-liners.
Yes,
he'd just throw something out there, and it was real short. He wasn't like super long-winded or anything like that. He'd just throw something out that was just goofy and funny, and that's what we loved about Bradley.
Yes. It was sad to see him go. I remember asking you guys what happened to him, and you weren't really allowed to say much.
Yeah, he just kind of disappeared. So. He went off into the sunset.
He did, yeah. I kept telling him, like, you know, if this is, because he was becoming super busy, and I kept telling him, like, if this is becoming, like, you know, a little too much for you, you don't have to be shy about telling us, I can't do it anymore. And so eventually he's just like, well, okay, all right, I can't do it anymore. So, yeah.
He wanted to stick around.
And he is at Bradley Cragen on Twitter, by the way. You were right.
Bradley Cragen.
Yes. Yep. And let's see, introduced on, let's see, we also talked about E3 2015. That was something.
That was a horrible E3.
Yes, we all hated it, is the note that Holly put. We all hated it. And I wish we had some of the
guts.
Oh, man, it was a bad show. I wish we had some more of the, some of the stuff that was announced at that E3, just because I remember.
I think Animal Crossing, the festival, Amiibo Festival was announced there. And I watched that E3 with my sister, of all people, who's 10 years younger than me. And even she was disappointed that was like just a dumb looking Mario Party kind of clone.
Wasn't
is what
that...
it looked like. We all just want a real Animal Crossing, Nintendo. I mean, come on.
Wasn't that when they announced Triforce Heroes?
That might have been it. Yeah, because it came out later on that year.
Metroid Prime Federation Force, Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer.
Jeez, just all the games that everybody hates.
Yeah, right? Pretty much.
That E3.
The
I feel
very
like that's
cool
also
thing.
Where they announced that tennis game for the Wii U, which I already forgot the name of.
But one of the things that they did talk about, one of the cool things they did do was the Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun when they had done that, obviously. So there was one or two kind of neat things that they showed off, but as a whole, there was like seven games, and they were all bad. Yeah.
Skylanders crossover with Amiibo.
Yeah,
Skylanders Amiibo crossover,
Yeah.
Lots of yarn, though. Everyone said that it was weird that they had like a 5-minute segment on like talking about how they came up with the idea for Yarn Yoshi Amiibo. But the Amiibo themselves, I was super excited to hear about. I was like, yes, an Amiibo made out of yarn in the shape of this adorable little Yoshi. I mean, give me 20 of those. I'll buy them all.
And the five of them look amazing together. If you want to see a picture of them, just go to my Twitter feed and it's
on
there.
They look
somewhere.
Especially that Mega Yarn Yoshi. That looks pretty awesome too. I'd love to score one of those. One day I'll find it super cheap in like a Target like clearance section or something and get it. So that's what I'm hoping for one day.
I owe Rose F. Death for reminding me that came out that morning inadvertently by posting it to Twitter, and I ran down and got the very last one, luckily.
Goodness. Directly following episode 17, which was a sad episode because we all hated E3 so badly, but one of the cool things that we did immediately following was the Super Ultra Mega Ultra Platinum Game of the Month Club introduction.
You're the one who came up with that.
I don't remember saying that at all at this point. Like, I can't believe that was what I wanted to call it. Thank you.
I wasn't serious. It's just a goofy thing. But yeah, the Game of the Month Club.
Yes.
We introduced it in episode 18. The first game which we played during July 2015 was Metroid Prime.
Because
game.
We played Metroid Prime Trilogy, we played Metroid Prime, but off of the Trilogy Edition, which just came out on the Wii U Virtual Console, because they just started to support Wii games on the Virtual Console. So we wanted to do something fun and exciting, and we had been talking about. I want to say that me and Anthony had talked about it a little bit, and then me and you had talked about it for a little bit, because we wanted to do some sort of like Zelda game thing as well. Like, we had talked about some different ideas for a Game of the Month type thing, and then we kind of settled on it. We talked to Bradley about it. Bradley also agreed to do it with us, obviously, so it really fell into place really nicely, and ever since then, Game of the Month Club has been a part of the show for quite a while, actually.
We haven't been doing very well over the past several months, I think.
It did die down just a little bit, that's for sure. But we've
but
had...
still, we had so much fun with that.
Oh, man, playing through The Legend of Zelda,
Minish Cap
was Minish a great Cap. Time because of it
Donkey
for me
Kong
personally.
Country 2.
Donkey Kong Country 2. I never probably would have got the game, nor would I have played the game if it wasn't for our Game of the Month Club and
Paper
stuff.
Paper Mario. Thank you so much, yep. Game of the Month
yes.
Club, for getting me to play Paper Mario. I loved that game. I finished it in a month, which is kind of saying something. It's not that short of a game, so.
And then you went Paper Mario crazy. And you
yeah,
got...
and I bought all the Paper Marios, but I never went on to actually play any of them. That's the sad thing. I've got to get around to playing the Thousand Year Door. Everyone says it's just a great game, so one of these days, I tell you.
But yeah, we've had some fun times. We've played games that are from
Super
the...
Mario Month. Let's skip over that. Super Mario Month was amazing. By far, our best Game of the Month club time. But, you know, episode 30 of the podcast came right around the time of Super Mario Maker coming out, which was kind of the game to celebrate the 30th mm-hmm. anniversary of the Super Mario series. Plus, we had a giveaway, and it actually involved... This was probably our most successful
this
giveaway.
Was, yes.
But it actually involved more from the listeners than just about anything else. They actually had to make a level, like their best level, send it in to us, and then we played them. Rose F. Death donated a gold Mario amiibo to give to the winner, and he participated in the judging. He came on as a guest. It was pretty much amazing.
And mind you, at that time, that amiibo sold for like $80 to $90 on
Amazon. Around that time,
it was super generous.
They don't know
of Rose F. Death to have done that. Obviously, we wanted to do something, and me and Holly spent such a long time trying to decide like what was the best thing to do, because Rose F. Death had actually suggested us giving away his gold Mario amiibo, but he was very dedicated to say that, hey, you can do this, but it needs to be something where the listeners have to try for it, you know. And we had very quickly kind of latched onto the idea, well, it's like, well, what should we do? We can't just do something as simple as an email. Yeah, but we didn't want to say something too simple, something too hard.
Right.
I can't remember which one of us that said, let's just have them make a Mario level. You know,
I feel like it was kind of a...
We both came up with it at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of almost simultaneously. Like, we were just discussing it and it just kind of came up, you know?
And it was a great,
awesome giveaway.
And from the listener's perspective, that was so much fun to make a level and then have you guys play it and be able to see that you guys had played it. And
did you participate in that? Did you create a level?
Yes,
I did.
You did the one with our birth years, didn't you? I swear.
No.
No, okay, that
no,
was
mine.
Else.
That was mine was based on the original Mario Super Mario Brothers 1-1, but when you went down into the underground, that's where my level was built into the underground.
You couldn't go all the way to the side because there was something that stopped you, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
I remember that one now.
I remember that.
Jesus,
and if anyone
so
listeners
long.
Yeah, but if any of the listeners want to go back and play those levels, we still have a PDF with all of the codes. It tells you who the winner was and everything, and I will put a link to that you can view on the description for this episode, so go look for that if you'd like to try out some of those levels that were entries for our giveaway, right around the time the game came out, so it was really brand new to people, and yet we got some excellent levels.
Yes.
We even awarded, like, I even gave a couple of codes out to some other people who we gave, like, honorable mentions to. We loved them that much, and we loved all of the contributions that much, so.
It was
such
a really
good
time.
Month.
And then just throughout the time that we've been doing the show in general, like, we've had some really, really cool abilities to be able to talk with some really cool people through the guests that we've done. Obviously today, Steve, thank you so much for joining us with all this. We appreciate the amount of time that you've spent listening to the show and being a part of it from afar and everything. Obviously, you've always participated with the Game of the Month Club. You participated with the recent swag when we were getting that going with the NF Pokemon, obviously. Like, we appreciate...
I kicked butt at that.
did. Yes, you
Pokemon
did.
Pokemon Master. We can officially dub you.
But we've also got to talk to a lot of really cool people as guests. We got to talk to, from Starfall Studio, they're creating the game, obviously, called Sneaky Ninja, that's still supposed to be coming out to the Wii U. But Mike Sullivan, he came on a couple of times, actually.
One of those times he came on with a couple of the mm-hmm. other members of his team. And man, they were a fun bunch.
Oh my gosh.
After that show, Matt, I think you left pretty quick after that show, but the rest of us, we played Super Smash Bros. On 3DS online for a good hour or two after the show, which is pretty crazy. But man, it was fun. We recorded on a Sunday and I was supposed to edit it. And yet I spent a good couple of hours after the show playing Smash Bros. With them, totally putting off the editing just because we were having so much fun. And, you know, we stayed on Skype and, man, good memories.
It was, I actually played because they did the Kickstarter for Sneaky Ninja. And one of their things was if you donated to it and then you played against one of them and then beat them, they would bump you up to the next level on their Kickstarter. So I decided to do that, and I played against Mike, and I was trying to act like I was like some very skilled Smash Brother player, but I am not by any means, mind you. And he kicked the trash out of me using Mario, and that was a lot of fun. That was a blast. Obviously, we've also got to interview on the podcast Joel's Watcham, from formerly of Renegade Kid and now part of, I can't think of what his new company is called.
Atui? Or something like that?
Yeah. He's developing a couple of 3DS games, one that's very Mario Maker-esque with a chicken instead. We also obviously talked to a bunch of people from the website themselves. You know, we had everybody from Mike Muscardi to Lucas Turney, Arthur McDowell, who came on afterward more recently, Dante mm-hmm. Radar?
Radar, I think. Mm-hmm. He was real fun. Matt was actually gone that week, and I was kind of desperate to find another co-host, but we were in that process of trying to get the contributors onto the show. And so Mike Johnston, the owner of the website, suggested Dante, and he was real fun to have on. So that was just me and him. Really fun show.
Anthony DeVirgilis, who's actually going to be taking over the podcast as we kind of phase our way out. I did it. I got his name right. I did it.
Is that because you talked to him just this past week?
It could maybe be why. I don't know. And other people from the site as well that I may not be thinking of at this exact moment.
Yeah, I can't remember anybody else either. We always meant to get Kiaudai on mm-hmm. here. Plus, get this. I have to tell this little story. Lucas Termini came on the show and we talked a little bit about Tomodachi Life, how we both had the game and we were kind of talking about the quirky things that happened in it. But, you know, both of us hadn't played it for a while. And so we were thinking, like, you know, if we ever did another episode together, we could do kind of like an update on what's going on in our Tomodachi Life islands. Well, guess, I mean, Lucas was on my island. I'm not sure if he ever put me on his, but Lucas I put on my Tomodachi Life island. And I actually went back. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. I went back and checked the status of that game. And me and Lucas are actually sweethearts in that game. And I didn't know. So on the show, I couldn't say that. But I always wanted, like, thought, like, we need to have another show with Lucas just so I can let him know, like, me and you are actually sweethearts in my Tomodachi Life. And for everyone's info, you do not have, like, any control. As far as I know, there's, like, nothing you can do.
You just watch
to try and
out.
Get two people. Exactly. So, I mean, me and Lucas just kind of ended up together. So who knows, maybe if I actually get back into that game eventually, we could get married. You never know.
Never
so
know.
That was really interesting.
Then we also talked to some people from the Nintendo Voice podcast as well, not Nintendo Voice Chat, but Nintendo Voice. Colin and Harris and Lewis. And Lewis
Harrison.
Actually, Harrison, my apologies. And Lewis, obviously the creator behind Twisted Fusion, who we've had a couple of times, or maybe only once or twice. I can't remember for sure.
Me neither.
And I know that Polly's actually done quite a few special podcast episodes as well. Like, she's done many podcasts by herself because she's a trooper and doesn't want to leave you listeners waiting, obviously, for a podcast for multiple weeks.
We did that a couple times anyway, though.
Yeah,
sorry.
We tried not to. We definitely tried not to. But, you know, you've been able to do, like, these cool shows where it's a Fire Emblem. You did some Fire Emblem specials as well.
Yeah, with Harrison. That lasted nearly 2 hours. We were just geeking out the whole time about Fire Emblem. It was awesome.
And then we also talked to Eugene from Infendo Radio, which is where Holly originally came from as well. Mm-hmm. Then we also spoke to some other YouTube personalities as well. We spoke to Corey. I don't think I was here for this one.
Coy Paul Freeman. He's Hoops VGM on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So he does video game music remixes. So he was on the show. And yeah, I, if you don't remember talking to him, Matt, I guess that was just me and him.
I think it was. And then we also spoke to WeeDSGuy83. I think was his YouTube name.
Oh, yeah.
We talked to him actually on our podcast, or on our E3 episode for E3. Was it 2015 that we talked to him about?
No, 2015 was the first E3 after we started the show, and that was the one we hated.
Yes.
And so yeah, it must have been last year. That was super fun. He was a super fun guy. Lots of energy. Super fun to talk to.
Yes, and he liked a lot of stuff more than I liked it. I remember that. Yep. We also talked to Christopher Arnold. He's the developer behind Ping 1.5 Plus for the Wii U. So that was a lot of fun. He's just someone that I knew from Twitter. So that's how we got him on. And then also we talked to Tyler Hash, the creator of Tiny Galaxy, the game that I did the musical soundtrack for, obviously. So that was really
cool. Good soundtrack. Great soundtrack.
And to finish things off, I believe, besides Gentis now, Steve, who's on the show, our last one prior was Nick Fulham.
Just call him Nick.
Okay, Nick.
Call it good at that.
Nick Film, he came on and he joined us for an episode of the podcast as well, which was a ton of fun.
Lots of Pokemon talk. Big Pokemon fan.
Never too
I
much.
I still think Pokemon Gen 3 still has the best soundtrack. Steve, which Pokemon generation has the best soundtrack in your opinion? I have to know now.
In my opinion, I'm still sticking with what I said on the special, Gen 7. It is the only one.
Oh, the newest gen.
It's the only one that I would consider buying once I have the extra funds for it.
Interesting. Nick felt the same way, and I am still just so solid in my love for Gen 3, even though I didn't really play that generation too much when it first came out.
I need to go back and listen to it. I was kind of falling out at that point. So I just need to go back and listen to it again and see.
I'm trying to think, like, what a particular track is that could, like, just sell you on it. I really love the Deoxys battle theme from the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire remake. That song is amazing. I love the champion theme, Stevens? That's funny.
Yep.
Because you're Steve. Stone. Steven, the champion from Gen 3, his theme song is amazing as well. And I love so many others. The gym battle, the friend battle. There's a few others that I can't think of right now.
We'll have to listen to those and we'll see if you can sell me on it in a little bit.
Yes. But Gen 7, Gen 7, actually, I can't say that I like it very much at all. I'd probably pick just about any other generation over Gen 7.
I'll name you a few later on that we'll go through that'll sell you on it.
Sure. But yeah, you and Nick both kind of love that Gen 7 soundtrack.
And besides your couple of shows that you did as specials, I did do a couple of special shows as well. Not nearly as many as you did.
Yeah, one or two solos at least.
I did, I think, one or two solo episodes, and then I did two specials. My specials were not super video game related, even though we did try to talk a little bit about video games as well. We did me and Ben at Nuke the Bridge. We did some really cool wrestling podcast that I had a blast doing. I like wrestling quite a bit, so I've always had a fun talking about it, and that was a really fun episode. And then kind of for this little ending part very quickly, and then we'll have some time to kind of go over some random stuff if we want to, but we just need to give some shout outs to some people that we really appreciate their support in the time that we've been doing this podcast. Obviously Mike Johnston, who is the owner of the website that allows us to be able to do this. Sakodin, who's been a really good listener from very early on, and then also a small contributor to the show, working with us for things and always sending good questions. Ivan, who's always been right there on Twitter with us. Frexy, Bernard?
He's kind of a... I only just barely heard from you on Twitter, Berend. I hope I'm saying your name right. Mm. But thanks so much for the tweets. He says he's going to listen to the last few episodes with a heavy heart, so we're real sorry that just as soon as you start getting with us on Twitter, we're just about to kind of split up a little bit here.
There's been a couple of people that have come out that have come out of the woodwork a little bit that I did not know were listeners to the show. So it was really kind of cool that, throughout this time that kind of seeing like, oh man, there's some other people that we didn't even fully think about that were listening to the show. But also, a special thank you to
Denby.
Yeah, even
if you don't talk to us on Twitter or send us emails or, at all, we want to thank you even, we don't know who you are because you don't talk to us on Twitter, but that is just fine. And we appreciate you so much for listening to us.
Yes, and then also, obviously, Denby, we want to say thank you to Rose F. Death for Factor. I want to say Factor might have been around from episode one, honestly. I mean, if not, it was very early on. Yeah. And, he's literally every episode he's had a comment or something about it, which we super appreciate.
Mario Maker level was awesome, too.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yes. So much. And he does some other stuff, too. that I didn't realize that he still is doing a lot of fun stuff. I recently went into Mario Maker, and he's done some really, really fun levels as well. Mike Fulham, obviously, thank you for all the participation and the support that you've given us throughout the time. Ben, who came on a little bit later on in comparison to some people, but always he's been commenting like crazy about episodes. We always appreciate that. Benjamin Del Pontier, you spoke to me recently, and I was really happy to find out that we had a similarity. So that was really cool to find that out.
A similarity. Okay. We'll leave it at that.
We're both Catholic. It turns out we're both Catholic. So that was kind of fun to meet another person.
See. Oh, gosh. I might. Oh. McClung? I think it's Ben McClung. Or is that at Nuke the Bridge? Jeez, I could be totally wrong on this.
Possibly. But Ben, yes. Nuke the Bridge.
Is his last name McClung or something along those lines? I could be butchering it. I'm so sorry. But he sells books. And once he found out I worked at a library, he's all like, oh, kind of a neat little comparison there. So can't forget him.
And then also McCoy.
McCollakabah.
Yes. Been around for a very long time as well. I enjoyed the show. Cody Hurst, obviously, a huge thank you for always giving us so many questions. I mean, we could probably go back right now through our email and we could find questions that we didn't get a chance to ask because he always just had so many on back order for us, which is awesome to have.
Great emails
on a rainy
general.
Day. Oh, yes. Even the short ones that are just why?
Yeah.
Bye.
He sent us that one email that just said, like, Matt made a pancake for his family and it was huge and delicious. I just thought you ought to know.
Yeah,
Holly, you should be jealous that you didn't get to try any of this pancake.
Yeah, what are you doing with your life, Holly?
You mean outside the podcast?
No, I'm saying that's what he was like saying. He's like, Matt made a pancake. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's so Cody.
Yes, Zoso.
Yep, he's not super active, but he in the past there have been times where he's talked to us quite a bit.
Shout out to At Green Moblin, who we played Smash Brothers with. I did at least a few times, and I played with him with Cody one time as well, which was a lot of fun. And a lot of these people that I've mentioned, I haven't even got around to saying like some of the reasons why we're so appreciative of the time, besides the fact that you listen, but also the comments and the time that we are able to sit down and play video games with one another, Splatoon, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, like. Something we didn't get to talk about a whole lot on this remembrance episode, sadly, is experiencing games come out at the same time together. That was honestly some of the most fun that I've had playing video games in a long time was playing Smash Brothers during an episode with Holly. That was a blast for me to do.
We were going to play Pokemon during the show. Oh, it was?
Say what?
The Smash Brothers episode was a fun one to listen to.
That's good. It was different, so we were worried that people wouldn't like it, but it's good to finally have some feedback, because I don't think anybody else gave us feedback on that one.
Well, I clearly never did until now, so.
We definitely enjoyed playing the game, and it was a very different kind of episode, just because we were just kind of talking in between matches, and then we got real quiet, so we cut out a bunch of stuff from the podcast.
The editing is what made that show work.
Yeah, very much so. And then uploading a couple of the matches onto my YouTube account. I think I uploaded one, and I think you uploaded one as well.
Yep.
And then remember, we kept forgetting to save our matches.
Yeah, we didn't save a couple of good ones there, darn it. But we saved the most important, and that was when I was Donkey Kong. This was an amazing match.
I remember this.
Not just because I won. I'm not trying to rub it in your face. But yeah, I was Donkey Kong. Matt was Mario, and it was Donkey Kong Country versus Super Mario World. We did upload that one, thankfully. And I don't know. It was a miracle that I won, honestly. But it was super fun.
It was a good match. It was a lot of fun. And then obviously a big shout out and thank you to Gentis, to Steve, to you, because you have always been a very awesome listener as well. And we appreciate all of our listeners, especially the ones that are enjoying the interaction. I know that I've followed you through the wormhole that was talking to developers. And it's kind of interesting to see like the aspect of we're all trying to provide something. Me and Holly as a podcast co-host and host and doing this show, we're trying to provide information, entertainment, and all those kinds of things. So it's nice to know that we have fans and listeners that want us to help with feedback or opinions or thoughts towards issues and problems that they're having. And I always appreciated that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, and there are certain developers like, just Jules Watcham is one of them. He is amazing with his fans. He's responded to me several times. It's really cool to get that feedback. You know, and unfortunately there's other developers out there who I'm not gonna, you know, bash or anything like that, that you just don't get that same thing from. Yacht Club Games is another one where I think they had tweeted something out and then Holly had responded to it, and then I responded to that. I think it was about Spectre of Torment, and they
it was coming to the Switch first.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that's kind of disappointing because I've been, you know, following that on 3DS since the very beginning, and they're like, well, we want to bring it out to Switch first, but we're not going to forget about those of you that have been, you know, following us since the beginning. And I thought that that was cool that they just took 5 seconds to just respond to my, and it wasn't even a negative tweet, but just that they were like, hey, we understand what you're saying and we haven't forgotten about you. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, great developers out there.
Yep, they are there. And
Jules Watcham in particular, man, he's pretty awesome.
He's funny. He was so funny.
And I hate to say this because I don't want to make it sound like we forgot about anybody, but we did have another developer who was part of a really, really, really fun and introspective show. It was the developer or the president behind SteamWorld Heist.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. How could I forget that one?
Yes,
you guys gave away a code for that game, if I remember right.
I tried to win it, and I didn't.
That was that was one of my favorite shows because we did more than just talk about simple video games in that episode. We talked about kind of life and the way the industry is going with virtual reality and just all the stuff we kind of delved into during that episode. That was one of my favorite episodes personally. And, you know, going back to talking about like good developers and stuff like that, both him and Jules Watcham were two of the very first people that I ever spoke to when I was kind of trying to break into like writing about video games and doing podcasts about video games. And I did an article about both of them way back in the day. Jules was the very first person who I ever interviewed for a website type thing. And then same thing with I can't remember. I don't want to butcher his first name, Ben, when I talked to him. But both of them remembered me from multiple years prior talking to them, which I thought was absolutely amazing as well. So, you know, so it's just there's been some really awesome moments throughout the entirety of the episodes and the times that we spent with listeners and developers and just everything that we've done over these last 2 years. I'll be honest, Holly, it's hard to watch it kind of go away to a point.
That's one thing that set you guys apart from a lot of other shows, and not just like just even the shows that I listen to personally. You guys are far more interactive with your listeners than a lot of other shows are. I mean, there's good ones out there, like a lot of the ones on the Podbash network that I'm a huge fan of, that, you know, they constantly correspond with their listeners. But it seems like you guys do it so much more regularly than a lot of these other shows. And, you know, I'm sure I speak for more of your listeners that maybe you haven't talked to recently, that we do genuinely appreciate that. It makes us feel good. You know, it's nice to hear us get the shout outs once in a while. You know, but that's one thing that you guys definitely did right. And that's one thing that I hope your successors do, is continue to interact with the listeners, because it does make you guys have a better show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we really
good to know that was a good thing.
We really do appreciate that, because that was something that, you know, it's funny, me and Holly, at the end, I think even the first 10 episodes, I want to say, Holly, I remember like giving like a very serious talk. I was like, Holly, we need to talk about what are we trying to do here? And looking back at like my serious like comments about the show every once in a while is almost kind of funny to me, just because I wanted it to be very professional and I wanted to make sure that we hit certain goals and we tried to accomplish certain things. And I don't know, like it's been just such a fun ride, and I think that the successors to the show is going to have a good time with it too, because hopefully all you listeners give them a nice, honest chance, because they're good guys. Anthony does a great job. He's done multiple podcasts, huge Nintendo fan, a very, very loyal Nintendo fan as well. And, you know, I'm going to try and stick around for a little while, I decided, at least for a bit. I don't know how long I'm going to be around, but, you know, we still have one more show, Holly. And it's not time to go yet, and I'm not crying, I promise. I'm not crying.
Oh, I wish we had a little more time. I was hoping we almost had a little more time here at the end to talk about like specific games that we kind of had obsessions with. Although we did kind of mention them, huh? Super Smash Bros., Splatoon,
oh my gosh.
Mario Kart 8 when the DLC came out. There were some great games that came out during these past 2 years, and playing them with the listeners, playing them with each other, it was all super, super fun.
And even for you, Xenoblade Chronicles X, yes.
Shout out.
That's that's what I was gonna say. Is we went through so much time.
That Monster Hunter.
And also, honestly, for me, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, I remember we were doing like a check-in with me, and I was really trying hard to like get through like the opening bits of it, and I made it like 8 hours, and I'm like, I can do this, I can do this, and then I took it out of my 3DS, and I never
just
put it back in.
70 hours to go.
Yeah, and I never never did it again for whatever reason.
If anyone out there has any kind of questions or anything at all when it comes to those kind of hardcore RPGs that I tended to talk about a lot on the show, Xenoblade Chronicles, Xenoblade Chronicles X, Monster Hunter, anything, man, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Lil Red Koopa now, as I mentioned last episode, L-I-L Red Koopa, pretty basic. Hit me up on there and be like, hey, I'm real confused about... Oh, speaking of which, this is... Okay, I totally just interrupted myself there, but there's another listener who I haven't heard from for a while, but I can't go without mentioning him, and that is Jason, who used to contact me quite a bit on Twitter. I forget his last name, which will kind of help set him apart, but Jason was a great listener there for a while. So, yeah. And I thought about that because he did tweet me once with a question about Xenoblade Chronicles X. So again, if anybody out there has any kind of questions about getting into these kind of intimidating RPGs or anything like that, Fire Emblem's another one. Send me those questions. I'm so happy to answer and let you know, kind of like, well, here's what you got to do if you're a beginner, or, you know, if you want to know, like, is this worth my time? Stuff like that. Just let me know. So,
you know, Holly can obviously tell you plenty about RPGs and stuff, but I was always trying to kind of bring forth like that sports and wrestling games, because obviously wrestling games have always been a lot to me for a very long time.
I do not venture into that realm ever at all, really.
And sports games. To me, like, I like playing sports games. I like the NFL games. I like wrestling games and stuff. And that was one thing that was tough about the Wii U and the 3DS, is that those systems did not have sport games this time around. They didn't have a wrestling game this time around. So that was kind
of
a disappointing. They had plenty of RPGs for you.
I certainly wasn't disappointed.
But what
and if
about
you? Have
you?
If you have any Pokemon questions, that's where Gentis comes in.
Yeah.
Rejoined us on the podcast here.
I know a couple things about Pokemon.
Just a couple?
Just a couple.
I doubt that very much so.
Just a couple? He got our NF Pokemon Pokemon of the Week, like every single week. He's a master, as I said before.
Except the week where you guys did Eevee, and of all of them, Eevee. I should have known that. But
I think
you guys threw me on that one.
It was my hint.
Yeah, Mike McSurdy was on there, and for some reason, Mike being on here, Matt not knowing what he was talking about. Let's just be honest.
No,
I'm just
no
kidding.
Don't even.
But just having the extra voice, I think, is what kind of like threw the listeners. Pretty badly.
I think that might be the only one Ian didn't get too, because I know he was right up there with me every single time.
Oh, you mean Ivan?
Ian. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Ivan.
Very close. It sounds like no something I would do, so don't worry about it.
Almost.
Yeah,
almost
so
there.
That was just overall kind of a tough week.
But
yeah,
it's been, you know, the show altogether. I don't want to get too into the simple things about our show that made it great, because there's so many of them that did that for us. But
oh, for sure.
It was a fun time overall, and we have one more episode next week. We're going to be talking heavily about the Nintendo Switch. I'm getting it. Holly's getting it.
Obviously.
Gentis, I believe you're probably going to be getting it.
Yeah, I pay mine off tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, everybody out there, please cross your fingers for me, because I ordered my Switch from Best Buy, my Zelda Special Edition from GameStop, and I live in a tiny town where problems with the mail are fairly frequent. So please cross your fingers for me that the system comes on launch day. It is supposed to, but you just never know in a tiny town.
You will get it. I will will it into existence for you.
I am actually going to be driving up to my local GameStop where I reserved it, and I will be going to a midnight event, because I haven't called them to make sure, but I'm assuming there's going to be a midnight event for it, and I will be picking mine up at midnight and driving home with it. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
There will be a midnight. I've talked to a friend of mine. So a friend of mine and I will be going. Hopefully it's better than the Pokemon midnight was, because that was miserable. And I will be very tired at work now, because nobody stuck around.
I'm
there was
actually,
no one in the store.
Aww. I'm going to make you pretty jealous right now, Holly, because I am, in fact, going to take Friday off of work personally.
Don't even say that. Don't even say that. You're making my heart hurt.
Matt, I'm mad at you. I have to work till 4 on Friday. but I'm taking Saturday.
I was going to have to work until 4 on Friday, but I talked to my boss and I said, hey, could I work like 4:10s instead? And he's like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, yes!
Dang it. Well, I've got like 3 different coworkers who all are expecting like grandbabies.
Holly, just call in sick, Holly.
Don't even,
but this is a switch.
I can't do it. Just everyone's leaving. Sick. I need to be all, you know, responsible and everything.
It's just the library. Who even goes into those anymore? I'm just kidding. I'm
a
kidding.
Few people.
Holly, we will be the responsible ones. I've just already told the both of my crews plan on working because I'm not. So.
All right. Well, if we forgot anybody, as far as loyal listeners go, please let us know. Even if you've never contacted us before and you still want a shout out, we will give you that shout out. Get mad at us if we totally forgot about you. I nearly forgot about Robixer. I've got to mention him. He actually got his friend to participate in the Super Mario Maker contest, and then his friend went and won the giveaway. So
I do remember that.
How could I forget that? Robixer, you're great.
I almost forgot about a listener, too. I should probably throw out there real quick. It is Kerbles, C-U-R-B-L-E-S. I don't know how you'd pronounce that. Kerbles?
Kerbles sounds about right.
Okay, good. But he's listened to the podcast for a while, and he's one of the people that just like randomly hit me up on Twitter, and I was like, oh, you listen to the show? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, aw, well, thank you.
So, yeah, we've gotten a lot of that, so thanks to everyone.
It's been a blast, but I don't want to go on and on too much longer because it is time to end the show, sadly. We don't usually like to go over an hour, so I would like to keep that tradition as much as possible.
Too late.
So not the final one. We're going to talk about the Switch and all things Switch-loving next week, so please tune in for that as well because there's going to be even more fun times to be had. But Gentis, Steve, thank you so much for being a loyal listener and just for tuning in and commenting and just hanging out with us today, too. Really, really do appreciate it a ton.
Well, thank you both for having me. It's been a long time goal to record with you guys, and so I'm happy to see it, even if it was right at the end.
I'm sorry it took us so long.
Yeah,
better,
for sure.
Better late than never.
There you go.
Got your Pokemon special episodes in there at least. McSurdy's pretty awesome like that.
That was so much fun to do, by the way.
I'm glad.
Awesome.
And Holly,
it's been fun.
Obviously, we can find you, Holly, at Little Red Koopa. You can find me at Only Matt Desen. You can find Steve at, I don't want to mess it up, I just say Gentis because I don't think about it as much. But
that's right.
It is at Gentis1. So you can find us all on Twitter. You can find the official Nintendo Fever podcast Twitter account at Nintendo Fever. And until next week, guys, man, just I'm crossing my fingers and everything that I can because I'm so excited for the Switch to get here already. It's so close. So close.
Oh, yeah.
7 days as of recording.
If only 5 as of listening.
Even less.
So,
5 as of listening. Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show and listening. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.